So this is the Green Edge podcast. It's episode 3. I had the pleasure of interviewing Luka Mezcek. It's a good episode. We have a good chat about saunering. We talk a little bit about his preparation leading up to the Tour de France. We talk about the Belgium Classics a little bit. It's a really good podcast to, if you're interested in saunering, heat adaption, keeping your mind sharp. This is a really good one. It's a short, sharp 20 minutes, power episode, you might say. But I hope you enjoy, and let's crack in. The third episode of the, they call the Bus Chronicles, but we're not on a bus. We're actually in Belgium at the moment. I am joined here with another stalwart in the Green Edge cycling team, Luka Mezcek. Welcome, Luka.
Hey, Derps. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
I know, it's not my podcast. It's been meaning to do this for probably 2 weeks now, and I've been avoiding the media chick, as Chris Jorgensen would say in the first episode. We are here. Talk about some of the classics. Talk a little bit about Luka. Not too much. Just give a bit of content for the fans and a little bit of insight of what's happening inside Green Edge at the moment. So, first of all, let's probably start where we are, Luka. Where are we at the moment?
Yeah, we are in our team's family hotel, let's put it that way, in Lepelbet, which is very close to the Ghent. And we are staying up here normally for all 3 weeks, at least the majority of the guys. We race basically every Wednesday and every Sunday, and in between just some coffee rides and maybe some recons. This is it for every year since I'm with this team, so this is going to be my ninth year up here.
Ninth year with the team?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, also 9th year in this hotel for
probably
a month, a year.
I was curious. I actually looked outside the hotel window, and I remember when there was the family across the road brought a newborn baby, and he was looked about 13 years old, and he had pimples all over his face. So that was the last time. That's how long we've been up here. So I don't know his name. Still haven't introduced myself yet, but I think he's signed a 4-year deal with UAE already. The kid across the road. No, I'm joking. we are at this family hotel, like Luka said, and it's a great location. So we have today we did Dwarsdorf Landeren Recon. You have the race like Wednesday, and it's quite important for us to have these like middle of the week races, because to be honest, no offense to Belgium, but to do good, really good training rides here is mentally quite difficult. The roads are pretty flat, so having these big hit outs before the races like Gent-Wevelgem or Tour of Flanders is important for the condition. So we have this first block, which is the Flemish Classics, and then we go into the Ardennes Classics, which you and me both tap out. We've done our contributions to the Classics, one-day races, and then we go into a bit of a training block leading into the Tour de France. So can you run me through what you're going to do, where you're going to go? You're a bit of a Livigno man, so yeah, what's your plan now after the Classics?
Yeah, normally this is my last race in the Classics will be Paris-Roubaix, and after that it's like first part of the season is over, so I take 7 to 10 days with really easy training or no training, depends how is the schedule up front, and then I do like just basic riding for 2-3 weeks before the next race, which will be Tour of Hungary. And straight after Tour of Hungary I do altitude block, which normally lasts for 1 month almost, which is quite a lot. I always do it in Livigno, also this year, no exception here. And then straight down to Tour of Slovenia, which is a really good preparation, last race before the Tour, and also really good indicator like what was working well after the altitude and what I still need to top up a bit. That's gonna be it. And then the Tour, and hopefully the legs will be the best of the year there.
So you're an interesting one. You coach yourself, which is quite rare in this sport. You have some guidance from the team trainers, but you coach yourself and you manage to have a very successful career by doing this. So when you do this building phase, can you sort of run us through maybe like what extra stuff you do, some gym, or maybe you like the sauna? What is do you have a bit of a periodization of how you plan your training leading into, say, the Tour de France with efforts and things like that? Can you run us through some of that?
Well, I'm not really coaching myself completely. I have like a supervisor, which is a Slovenian coach. He knows me since my first steps on cycling, which was in 2005. So he really knows me well, and he just gives me some guidelines when I need to, like, just, let's say, do a rest week or something, when I'm over the top and when I need to do a bit more than usual. But yeah, like day-to-day training, I do it on my own. I schedule my own efforts and like the length of the training, the length of the weeks. There is some suggestions coming from our team coaches, which are always welcome because they study this thing, what's the latest technique or trends, what's the best outcome of the training. But yeah, I really like to just to experiment a little bit. I'm a cyclist for 12 years, I think. So, I mean, pro cyclist. So, you know, by this point, you know yourself pretty good and what works on you and what doesn't. Because we all know sometimes the coaches also push a little bit too much to some guys. And then at one point they are really good. But then when the time comes, when they really need to be good, they actually already go down.
Yeah, you have these mental bullets that if you use in training and you don't save them for racing, the racing is so difficult now that... If you use them up in training, like you said, it makes it difficult to be able to really ask of your body deep in the Tour de France, you know, 2 weeks in when you really need to go. If you've done all this in training, which you see quite often with some young guys.
Especially, you know, once you start getting in shape and the time comes when you want to push also on training because you're excited about the numbers and all this. And that's just with the young guys, they got carried away with it.
Yeah, it's more about often you would hear about how many watts you did in the race, and it's not necessarily about the result. And I think this is wrong. I think the best result you can get is with the least watts. If you come in, you have the least watts and you win the bike race and you're the smartest bike racer out there, this is probably what more should be celebrated rather than if you broke a Strava. This is important to remember. And I think you are one of these guys you see that super efficient in the bunch and super efficient with your training, but when you're really asked to do the big job in the races, you are there for the team, and especially being one of the major lead out guy for Dylan Groenewegen. So
yeah, I mean this is also the part of my role in the team, you know, to save as much as possible just for the final. When if you have a different guys like Chris Jule Jensen, you or Jan Maas, you know, you need to go on the wind constantly already just far before the finish line. So that's different roles in the team. But yeah, what was the questions before about the build up?
I wanted to ask you, well, let's we both love saunering. I wanted to ask, yesterday we actually went out to a sauna village, you might say, in Belgium for a bit of a recovery session. And that heat adaption, the detox, also there's a bit of a meditation state as well because you're relaxed, you don't have your phone, you are just there, you know, in the sauna relaxing. And yeah, how do you use the sauna and what is your, you know, like process in that?
Yeah, I mean, last couple of years I am getting more and more into this, not just training, but also next to training outside of cycling, recovery stuff, not just for performance, but also just for well-being. I'm pretty big with cold plunges. I have one at home. I use it every morning and it's about 4 to 6 degrees.
Every morning you jump in. Yeah,
so right. I wake up and I go actually straight into the cold plunge for 3 to 4 minutes.
Swain Tuff would be very proud of you, wouldn't
he? Yeah, I'm always thinking about him when he was telling me the stories, and when he was dipping himself in the sea in the middle of January.
Yeah, Adriatic in Torino. Like, oh, yeah.
Swain, what are you doing? This is like old guy stuff, but now I'm here. But yeah, I mean, now it really works wonders to my body, and just the mental state after the cold plunge is next level. Like the focus, the energy, everything is just perfectly balanced. And then, yeah, I also added sauna in this kind of regime. I try to do at least once a week, like a big session of sauna. Now, I read some studies about heat exposure and stuff like this, and like the pretty amazing information that I get out of it was that if you do 120 minutes of active sauna, so sauna time in one session, so whether it be like in one afternoon, it increases the release of your growth hormone by like 16 times more.
Wow.
And that's like after the races, if you do that, I think it's really good for recovery for the next
For a reset. And yeah, also from my own personal readings about the sauna is that even like a pre-altitude effect, you get this blood plasma. We often use altitude training. That's not not secret knowledge within cycling, and having this heat adaption in a sauna can kickstart the same effect you would get from altitude training. So this heat adaption is one of the sort of bit of a trend at the moment. We've heard of people, you know, getting into hot rooms and doing hot baths and to be able to create this effect without going to altitude. And personally, when I go home to Australia, I train in Perth in the off season,
where it's really hot.
It was really, really hot, 40 degrees, and having this heat adaption when I rock up to Tour Down Under or the Nationals, I always seem to have quite good condition. And I think the heat is something that may be a little bit more easy accessible than going to an altitude training camp. So, you know, throughout the whole season, if you were dipping into this sauna every week, you were keeping that that blood plasma and that effect going, and then almost preparing you for when you go to Livigno. But question, when you go to Livigno, do you stop doing the sauna, or you also keep that going when you're there?
Well, actually, last couple of years I didn't really go to sauna, but this year I found a place, an apartment where also sauna is just next to the apartment, which is very handy. But yeah, in Livigno, when I go, is normally around the first part of June. It can be also really hot down in Bormio towards Tirano. And then you can do actually both. You train down, have a good heat exposure, and then you sleep and live up on the altitude.
Yeah, you have that, like, I do it often in the off-season, that maybe just before the last meal, just before dinner, you go into the sauna and you have that metabolic effect. It can cause your body to start, boosting your metabolism, which means before you eat dinner, you know, you have that that boost, and then you can, maybe metabolize dinner if you're also in this period of time. It's not like we are trying to crazily lose weight, but you're always trying to look for probably 1 or 2 kilos less than you probably would have now. At the moment, we are racing in between 5 and 15 degrees, and a lot of the time it's cold and wet. So having that extra kilo can, you know, stop you from getting sick and a little bit more power and things like that. But when you go into the summer leading into the Tour de France, you don't need that extra weight, and obviously you start to go uphill a lot, and you know, me and you, we suffer a lot on those climbs. So having 1 or 2 kilos less is a big advantage for us.
Yeah, like we should not forget to mention here when we talk about sauna and performance enhancing help from it, I think it's really important also just the mental aspect, how calm and how peaceful you get out of the sauna. Like you are in a like different state of mind, you know, and you're more happy, the hormones are on the right place, and that actually also means that this balance in your body is correct, and that helps you with recovery because the hormones are correct, you're happy, and that's what it's supposed to be.
And the these races, especially in Belgium up here for the classics, you have they demand a lot of mental sharpness. Stress, sharpness. You are constantly switched on. The amount of glycogen you burn just in your brain, just by being switched on for these run-ins and things like that. So having the ability to switch off, you know, you see it. You come back to your hotel room and guys put the screen on. They have the screen in their face. The phone is constant. And the, you know, and as everyone knows now, with, you know, social media and everything, it is a constant stimulus. Yeah. And having that moment where you, you know, put the phone away, you go into the sauna, you do the cold plunge, and you're resetting the body, allows you to go between your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous system. And it means you can make decisions in the race not out of a like an overly stressed point of view.
Yeah, and also like once you take the time for yourself in sauna, you are there just with your minds and thoughts. And then also you do some breathing exercises and they just... It's a big stress release.
Oh, man, yesterday was fantastic, wasn't it? We were just relaxing and jumping the cold plunge. And yeah, now today we went training in the recon. Like you were coming back from being a little bit sick. And I've had two pretty hard days with E3 and Gewervegum. So having that reset before tomorrow is really important. And but yeah, so.
And also the days here can be quite long, you know. Like yeah. We're always just together in the same hotel. Like not much going on except the screens. So you want to have this... extra activity outside of the hotel, outside of the cycling world. And yeah, I don't know how we couldn't find this place earlier.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the one of the things is that when you're at home, you're training well, you're quite busy at home. You know, you have three kids. I also have one kid now. And we have quite a busy time when you're at home. So when you do come to the races and you're here laying down all day, every day, it's not something normal for us. And maybe it leaves the time and your mind is going. And also in these races, if you have a couple of bad races or you have a bad race here, you can really start to spiral down. So keeping that positive mindset to keep everyone mentally sharp for the next race is really important. But... yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, thanks, Luca. I think we're going to keep it short and sharp. I'll do a bit of an intro, maybe drag it out a little bit longer. But no, that was really, really good to hear from you. And I think a lot of people will be interested to hear from yourself and also just about that the sauna and switching off and keeping that mind sharp.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Derf. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Even when we don't talk, just bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. That was the most serious conversation we've ever had. Probably. Jesus, man. That was like Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan,
I mean. Anyway, well, thanks, guys. Hope you enjoyed. And passing on to the baton to the next group.
Yeah.